Welcome to Impact OC, the only program showcasing the people and organizations shaping Orange County. With your host, Dawn Camber.
Hello, I'm OC Talk Radio Public Affairs Director Dawn Camber with another great guest impacting our community in a positive way. I welcome as my first guest on this show, Orange County Registrar of Voters, Neil Kelly. He joined the county as Chief Deputy Registrar in 2004, then was appointed the Registrar in 2006. Neil, thank you for being my first guest.
Well, thank you, Don. It's actually a pleasure to be your first guest, so thank you.
I know you're busy overseeing an election with nearly 2 million registered voters. I understand mail-in ballots are being sent to all registered voters in Orange County. Please explain the process to cast ballots.
Sure. So, as you mentioned, we just yesterday sent out 1.7 million ballots to all Orange County voters. And that was a big milestone for us as the election's coming up pretty quickly. September 24th, we sent out voter information guides. And so those are in the hands of voters. And that has a lot of information about how you vote, what you can do, how to vote under COVID-19, which is really helpful. So once voters receive their official ballot through the mail, they have a number of options. They could vote that ballot immediately because we're now open for business for voting, obviously. Drop boxes are open. They could hang on to that ballot and they could return it in person if they'd like to at any official vote center, which will open on October the 30th. And then their other option is to put it into the postal system. It's postage paid. You don't have to use a stamp. And you could do that as soon as you get your ballot.
So everybody is getting a ballot. Mm-hmm. I'd like you to explain how we should approach that ballot in terms of actually filling it out, or if we want to go to the polls, what we should do.
Sure. So filling out the ballot is pretty straightforward. It's about a 3-page ballot, depending on where you live, on average in the county. It's very simple in terms of filling out the information on the envelope, which should be your name and address. And you've got to sign it because that's the number one reason that we don't count those ballots when people don't sign them. But if they'd like to vote in person, that's also an option. And the beautiful thing about a vote center system like we have here in Orange County is they don't have to bring that ballot with them. If they go to vote in person and they do that, that ballot automatically becomes void. So even if they threw it out, they tore it up, they left it on their coffee table, it doesn't matter. It's a voided ballot.
Now, filling out the ballot, you can use what type of writing device?
I like you're getting in the weeds. This is good. So blue and black pen is what we're recommending, we ask for. Of course, if a voter uses a pencil or something else, we're not going to turn that ballot away. We have to duplicate it, though. It takes a little bit longer to do that. And what's really nice is that I'd say 99% of the voters follow those directions and they fill out that vote target in the box, and it's a very simple process. I'm glad you asked because we do get a number of ballots we have to duplicate, and that can slow it down on the back end.
What if they make a mistake?
So that's okay. There's a couple things they could do. The law changed in California several years ago. So if you do make a mistake, you can initial it if you'd like, if that makes you feel better. You can just cross it out and then mark your selections, and you could circle that to emphasize that vote. Or if you don't feel comfortable doing that, get a replacement ballot. On our website at ocvote.com/replacement, takes you just a few minutes. We'll mail you out a new ballot. That other ballot becomes void.
Now, when they mail that ballot, what happens to it?
So when they mail it, it goes through the postal system, and we have a very good working relationship with the post office. There's been a lot of dialogue at the national level about the postal system. You might ask about that later, I don't know. But it does go through that system. Every ballot is treated as first class. And one of the things that I've seen a lot on Facebook and Twitter and some other internet sites is, you know, if you put a stamp on that ballot, it's going to treat it extra good and it's going to arrive sooner. That's not true. The fact is it's election mail. We have a logo on there that identifies it as such, and the post office treats it as first class automatically. It doesn't matter if you put a stamp on it or not. And when it comes into my office, we put it into an automation system, and we capture the signature of the voter, and then we compare that signature to the record that's on file for their voter registration. If we have a match, we go to the opening process. If we don't have a match, there's extra scrutiny placed on that.
You say the opening process. Does that mean it's going to be counted?
So if it's an eligible ballot and we verified the record and the signature matches, it's going to be opened and counted. Absolutely.
So therefore, on election night, November 3rd, you potentially could have a lot of ballots already counted because the eligible ballots have successfully gone through the process.
Correct. And this is, if I could take the opportunity, one of the things that I did right after COVID really exploded in the March primary is I realized, you know, I don't know what's going to happen in the fall. We could have an all-male ballot election. That was a potential outcome. And so I doubled our ability to scan ballots, and I doubled our ability for the automation on the inbound side immediately. And we were already in a good position because we had to set up that infrastructure. We will have every single ballot that I receive in my office through election morning ready to post the results on election night.
And the time for that would be?
8:05.
In the meantime, there's many ballots that are going to be counted as they keep coming to your office.
Correct. That's right. And California changed the law, the legislature did, because of COVID. We can now start processing those ballots the minute we mail them. So, in fact, today I've got teams out among the county, radio dispatch, picking up ballots. I'm hearing the radio chatter. And so we'll process those ballots today.
Now, you want to point out that you were talking about drop boxes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So one of the things as a vote center county, and just as a vote center county for people to understand, that essentially does three things. Every voter gets a ballot, official ballot through the mail. You have a longer period of time to vote. So it's not just election day. And then my favorite is you can vote at any location that's open if you want to go in person. And so that really opens up the options for voters in that process.
What happened to polling sites? Remember the good old fashioned, you can go vote at your nearby school?
Yeah, there's a lot of nostalgia with that, right? I mean, churches and community centers and schools. But the reality is that voter behavior has changed over time. If you look at the data here in Orange County, over the last 12, 13 years, voters have overwhelmingly chosen on their own to receive an official ballot through the mail. And because of that, those neighborhood polling places were not being used as much. And we saw the traffic in those sites dramatically decrease while people were voting their official ballot through the mail. So it just didn't make sense, a taxpayer standpoint, from an efficiency standpoint. So we went to this vote center model that consolidates those polling places into larger centers and takes them out of places like schools. It's more secure than for schools, right? You don't want people on campus that necessarily shouldn't be there. And it allows us to operate these sites so anybody can go to any location. You no longer have to go to that garage down the street that you may have gone to. You can go to any site.
Explain some of the sites, and you have some big ones.
We do, and I'm very proud, and I know you've, I'm sure, heard the news, as many other people have, that we have a partnership with the Ducks and the Honda Center, which is great. I have to give a shout-out to the Ducks organization. They've been fantastic, and we will be operating that location starting on October the 30th, 20-plus thousand square feet. It'll be the largest vote center we've ever operated here in Orange County. Drive-through voting, which is great if you don't want to get out of your car, or you can drive in, and you'll be able to drop off your ballot, so you have lots of choices. Not just the Honda Center, of course, but we have lots of facilities around the community, that, like city halls, for instance, and large community centers where we have a larger footprint so we can space people out.
Explain the process if people indeed want to do it in person.
Yes, and you know, I understand that some people still just feel more comfortable going in person to vote. And we have done so many things in our planning efforts to prepare for COVID-19 voting. And that started back in March. And that includes, and I'll just walk you through real quick, a typical vote center, you'll go in, there'll be a hand sanitizer station, lots of signage. Our employees will be outfitted in full PPE to protect themselves as well as the voters. We'll offer a face covering to voters if they don't have one. They don't have to wear one, but we'll offer it to them. Lots of disinfectant supplies. I keep telling people I'm in the pen business now because every voter will get a pen. It's a disposable pen to mark their ballot. And then when they leave, they'll be able to grab their own I voted sticker from a dispenser instead of being handed an I voted sticker. So the idea is that there's this physical separation, but a lot of protection. And I'll leave you with this. I've been going out to restaurants lately. It's nice to be able to go back out to eat. And I think restaurants have done a great job, but I really feel voters are going to feel as safe as they can in this environment when they come vote.
How do you think a person should approach casting a ballot if they want to do it at home? You send two different types of information in terms of the decisions they should make and then actually casting their ballot.
Yeah, so we send out, well, there's two things that come to them. One is the state voter guide. And the state voter guide has information on statewide contests, statewide candidates. And then we send out the county voter information guide, which has information on not only the statewide info, but also the local candidates and local measures in their community. Good information there from candidate statements for campaigns that bought them, as well as the measures. So voters have the time to kind of look through that and to make their choices based on that information. And there's also, you know, a lot of information that's out there on the web that's really helpful, like the League of Women Voters has good information as well, nonpartisan. And they can make those selections in the comfort of their home. And I'm not calling it vote by mail. I'm saying vote at home because it's a good, safe way to vote. And you have the time, too.
Now, is this going to be a regular thing forever? Every time we have an election, it will be automatic ballots mailed to everybody? Is this a regular thing or just this year because of a lot of the confusion that's going on?
Correct. So it'll be all future elections here in Orange County. We transition to what's called the Voters Choice Act, starting with the March primary. And under that Voters Choice Act, every voter receives an official ballot. Every registered voter receives an official ballot.
So therefore, people get their ballots. If they want to vote at home, they can. But there's that issue with the Postal Service. So for the first time in my life, I got a card from the Postal Service indicating they recommend you vote early. What do you say?
I think that's good advice. I mean, you know, look, the bottom line is there's been so much talk about the post office and the concerns over that and some of the changes the post office was making. And if you have concerns about that, send it in early. You have additional time. And California changed the law so that it can be received in my office up to 17 days after Election Day. It has to be mailed by Election Day, but it can be received in my office for postal delays by 17 days. And I get to add this. You know, despite what you're hearing in D.C. On the leadership of the post office, at the local level, we have a very strong relationship with them. And I work closely with the executive leadership at Orange County's post offices. And we have a good plan in place. And I don't just take them at their word. We look at data on a daily basis. We're looking at zip codes. We're looking for issues that might arise. And we communicate with the post office on that. I just want to say this. When we mailed our voter guides, they started arriving the next day. That's the fastest service we've had with those since I've been around. And our vote-by-mail ballots that we just sent out yesterday, people are already receiving them today, which is good.
So let's make it clear. A person chooses to vote at home. Does that mean it has to be able to go out in the mail that day, November 3rd, to be postmarked that evening? Or if they miss the mail person who came to their home and it goes out the next day, it will be counted?
If it goes out the next day and is in the mail system, it's not, because it's not going to be postmarked by Election Day. So I just wouldn't take the chance of going that far. I mean, if you have to, definitely mail it on Election Day. But if you are down to Election Day, consider one of the drop boxes. Because as long as you have that in that box by 8 p.m. on election night, it's going to count.
Because in the past, all the postal services would be busy trying to get those ballots, and you'd have some postal services open till midnight
right.
in order to have it count.
Yeah, absolutely. And thanks to the post office, because they are going to be doing that, I think, at some locations. I do want to say this, though. I was meeting with the postal management the other day, and they reminded me that in December of every year, the post office, U.S. Postal Service, handles 4 billion Christmas cards. 4 billion. Now, I'm not comparing Christmas cards to ballots, but it's not going to be close to that volume in the postal system around the nation.
Are you concerned about fraud in any form or fashion?
I mean, I'm concerned to the standpoint that I would be foolhardy if I said I put my head in the sand and I'm not looking for that information. We're always looking for that. We're always looking for data and anomalies. But the reality is that evidence just doesn't appear. I get calls and complaints every election. Happens all the time. And we look at it. We work closely with the district attorney's office. And it just doesn't pan out. So, you know, elections always create conspiracy theories. It always creates rumors, et cetera. That's pretty typical. But we just don't see it in large numbers.
You've been working on this for years
mm-hmm.
to make sure this will go smoothly.
Yeah, we have. And, you know, I've told people this is like a military operation, as close as it gets in the civilian world, because the logistics and planning on this scale is just enormous, if you think about it. We are really Well, we are. We're running the largest event in the state of California next to Los Angeles County. I mean, it's a huge event.
Well, certainly what follows is results. So explain when we could hear results.
Yeah. So those ballots that we're going to receive up to election morning will be posted, as I mentioned, at 8:05. Now, if you look at the primary return results, that was about 65% of the total ballots cast. And then the rest came where people had dropped them off on that day or they mailed them that day. Now, I suspect we're going to probably see a similar makeup, maybe 65, 70% before election morning. Then those people that go and vote in person on election day, we will post those that night as well. So the only thing left is what was in the mail or dropped in the drop boxes on election day. That's it. And we'll process those post-election.
And I know that people can get results by looking at ocvote.com.
Correct.
And you're pretty good at posting where we are with the processing of ballots.
We're the only California county, by the way, that does it this way. And that is we post our results every 30 minutes, starting at 8:05 on election night. And then we pick up at 9:30 and every 30 minutes. And then at 5:00 every day thereafter until we're done.
So what time will you get to go home? Probably not on November 3rd, per se. Will you be, you'll be there past midnight, correct?
My days on any election day for a large election, I'm going 27, 28 hours. I mean, it's, yeah, I'll probably start at 3:30 in the morning on election morning and go till maybe 6:00 the next day.
And then they could check election results again. At what time do they start recounting?
Right. So we will post election results starting at 5:00 on Wednesday, the day after the election.
5:00 in the morning?
I'm sorry, 5 at night. 5 p.m. every night following election day.
And when will the final be available?
Well, I think we're going to be doing pretty good in Orange County because of what we've done on the capacity side and being able to double that volume. But, I mean, if I were to make a guess in the state, it's probably going to go the full 30 days because counties are all different. I think, you know, here in Orange County, it's going to be a few weeks.
But you could say Orange County is safe.
I really believe that. You know, and we have done so much to plan for this and to prepare for it. And from a security standpoint, which I think maybe is part of your question, we're working very closely with the FBI, Homeland Security, our district attorney has been a great partner. And so I just feel really pleased with the partnerships and where we're at.
And if people have any concern, what should they do?
Well, I mean, they should voice those concerns, you know, and I have a full team standing by to take their phone call. Can I give the number?
You sure can.
Great. So 714-567-7600. And I'm not a fan of red tape and sending you through a phone tree. So when you call us, you're going to get an operator.
And I'd like you to please repeat that phone number.
Sure. 714-567-7600.
And the website they can go to get more information.
OCVote.com.
Neil, how do you want to be perceived?
I want to be perceived as the umpire in the ball game. And that is just calling balls and strikes. And really making rulings and decisions right down the middle of the road. That's where I need to be.
And where are you going to be on November 3rd? Are you going to be at any of the voting sites?
Yeah, I can't. My personality, I can't sit still, number one, and I think it's really important to show leadership out in the field, and I am in the field every election. My feet swell up at the end of the night, which is okay, but I need to be out there and listening to the operations and solving problems. I can't sit in an office and do this.
So when do you get to relax?
After the election's certified.
And when will that be?
Well, so in California, we have 30 days from November 3rd. But like I said, I really believe based on the forecast right now, we'll be well ahead of that. After the recount period clears, I guess if we know what the ultimate result is, you know, in the nation, that's when I'll be able to sit back and relax.
Well, information on voting in Orange County may be obtained online at ocvote.com. Thank you, Orange County Registrar of Voters Neil Kelly, for being my first guest on Impact OC. And I thank everyone for tuning in. I'm OC Talk Radio Public Affairs Director Dawn Camber. Have an impactful day.
You've been listening to Impact OC, the only program showcasing the people and organizations shaping our community. Right here on Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio.